Lord, now as we open your word, we ask that you would speak to us, that you would bring comfort to us, that you would shape our lives into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we turn our eyes to you now. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue our series of sermons in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. We're going to be in the 6th chapter. And Luke talks about Jesus being this great and mighty king, bringing with him his kingdom, a kingdom that is not like this world. And the scripture we're going to look at today illustrates, perhaps more than any other, just how unlike this world the kingdom of God really is. Because here in the text we're going to look at, Jesus is going to address how we relate to our enemies. Do you have any enemies? Oh yes. Those people. Those people. And so last week we looked at the beginning of Jesus' sermon on the plain and the blessings and the woes there that contain the promise and the hope that Jesus offers to those who identify with his message and a warning about those who do not. Now, today, we'll look at the fundamental standard for a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's love. God's love. So the disciples' love for others should be extraordinary in comparison to the way in which people usually love others. So Jesus recognizes that the world we live in has a certain standard for how you treat people. He's going to call his followers to a much higher standard. So let's look at what the text says. Luke chapter 6, I'll start reading in verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Woo! Everyone's favorite text. So, okay, let's get into this. First of all, Jesus tells us that Christians love those intent on causing them harm and will do what is good for enemies instead of seeking their own satisfaction or advantage. All right? So Jesus, is, in other places, is going to tell us to love a variety of people. Here in the text today, he's talking specifically about our enemies. And so Christians love those intent on causing them harm, and Christians will do good for enemies instead of seeking their own satisfaction or advantage. And here, the language Jesus uses is very strong, clear, and emphatic. In verses 27 and 28, again in verse 31, and then in verse 35, there are clear commands to love our enemies. These are not suggestions. These are not wishes. These are commands from the voice of God Himself, Jesus Christ our Lord, that we would do this. In between the commands, in verses 29 and 30, and in verses 32 through 34, Jesus illustrates the commands. These are not commands themselves. These are illustrations of what it would look like if we obeyed the commands. So let's look at what Jesus says. Let's break this down. First, we see that the ones who receive my love as a Christian are the ones who are against me, who are out to cause me harm, who can take advantage of me. I'm to love these people. Now, I'm guessing Jesus' command sounds as nonsensical to us as it must have to the people who were there listening to him. This is insane, right? Go ahead and say it. I know you struggle with it. We all do. The enemy. An enemy is someone actively opposed to or hostile towards me. And Jesus commands me. Look at what he says. I'm to love those who hate me, who curse me, who mistreat me, who cannot give anything back to me. I spend my time trying to avoid those people. Jesus tells me to love them. Judaism, in Jesus' day, said that you love your neighbor, your fellow Jews. You did not have to love your enemies. You were exempt from that, especially not your political enemies. So people like tax collectors, Romans, Gentiles, Samaritans, you did not have to love those people. You were exempt. So the Jews were familiar with the way you and I often understand love in our culture, that we love those who love us. We give to those who are able to contribute something back to us. We relate to those who can relate to us. How can we be expected to do anything more than that? Jesus says that Christians are to have a stronger, deeper love than what you find in the unbelieving culture. So, in verses 32 and 30 through 34, Jesus gives these illustrations that takes an example of love and asks what is special about it, given that sinners love this way. You love those who loves you, so what, he's saying. You give to those who give back to you, so what. You do good to those who do good to you. There's nothing extraordinary about that. Even the most pagan people in the world understand that kind of reciprocity. And he's telling us that the world's standard for love is not enough. This world needs something more than that. So then we see that Jesus' command to love assumes I will consistently risk being engaged intimately with my enemies to act in their long-term best interests. I will risk being consistently engaged on an intimate level with my enemies. But that's what it says here. This is not some sort of passive avoidance where I say to my enemies, hey guys, I didn't kill you today. I didn't insult you on social media today. It's a good day. That is not what Jesus is saying. Loving involves engagement with my enemies in a way that allows me to act to do them good. I'm not avoiding them. I'm not avoiding causing them harm. Instead, I'm engaging with them in a way that will allow me to do them good. And in fact, Jesus says, He expects me to draw near enough to them so that I can be slapped on the cheek or have my cloak stolen. You have to be pretty close to me to slap me in the face. I'm a big guy, but I can move pretty quick. So you have to be pretty close. If you're going to take my cloak, you have to be near enough to grab hold, you know. That's how close Jesus says. There's a risk in being that close. Jesus is saying he knows the way that he loves us, the way we are to love others, involves risk. I could get hurt. Agape love, that the way Jesus uses it here, is not affection. It's not a feeling. Jesus calls for action. I am to show love. I'm to act in love towards my enemies. Now, we may not be able to control how we feel about people, but we certainly can control how we act. That is where my choice is. I do not always choose the emotional response, but I can choose my action. Even if we are harmed, even if we are done wrong, we will not retaliate or seek vengeance. In verse 29, the language indicates, I am always willing to suffer more because of love. I am willing to surrender more of myself for the sake of loving my enemies. I am willing to give up more, to endure more. Why? So that I can love my enemies the way that Jesus loves me. Love is available. Love is vulnerable. Time after time after time. To be struck again. To be taken advantage of again. To sacrifice again. Too often, we want to fight, don't we? We don't want to love. We want to win. I want to conquer and vanquish my enemies. I don't want to draw them close enough to hit me one more time. That's the world's way of thinking. Jesus calls us to something better. Jesus calls us to show to our enemies the love of God that does not vanquish enemies, but brings them close. In fact, the love of God brings enemies into his family. That's my testimony. What about yours? Apart from Christ, I was his enemy. In Christ, I've been adopted into the family. The news is good. And that's what he wants us to show others. Now, I asked Michael if I could tell this story, and he told me I could. So last week, Michael and I had a conversation. He was upset because of things that were happening at school. And apparently there's some kids, some boys in his class who are big-time bullies. And they bully all kinds of people. And that upsets Michael. And he's even the target of that himself. And so he was upset one day after school and we were talking. Kim left me alone with him, which was probably not wise. So he was telling me what was wrong. And he said, Dad, I just want them to stop acting like this. I said, okay. Well, then you're going to have to beat them up. There's probably no other scenario in which they will stop acting like that. If you don't beat them, beat the snot out of them. And look, the first time you try, they may beat you up. And if they do that, that's fine. We're going to train like Rocky. And I'm going to have you chasing a chicken, and I'll be pulling you on a bicycle, singing, Getting Stronger. And you're going to go back, and you're going to beat them up the way he beat up Mr. T. It'll be great. And the more I talked, you could tell, the more upset he got. And finally, he said, I'm not going to fight them. And I said, why not? And he said, because it's wrong. Jesus says we're supposed to love our enemies. And I said, oh, Jesus, well, you know. That guy. I said, I thought we were talking about making them stop. I didn't know you wanted to do the right thing. All right, well, okay, you want to do the right thing. And that's when we began to talk about how hard that is. Because if you want to do the right thing and love them the way Jesus does, you're going to have to take it and not respond in kind. In fact, your response will be to do those boys something good. And that's hard. And so we prayed together that God would give him the courage to be able to do what's right, and that God would reveal himself to these boys who are behaving in ways that, are so unfortunate. Here's what we learned. When I love my enemies, I bring about good things for them. See, when I love my enemies, I ask God to pour His grace and goodness upon them so they will know Him and their lives will be transformed. When I love my enemies, I take them with me in spirit into the presence of God. When I love my enemies, I am generous in meeting their needs, even if taken advantage of, and I receive nothing in return. That is not the way the world loves. That is the way God loves us. That is what we are to reveal to others. So my question is, do I love my enemy? What can I do today to show the love of Christ? Are you still with me? Yeah, all right. Here's the second thing. Jesus indicates that my enemies deserve to be loved by me in this way because this is how God loves His enemies, including me. So listening to the way Jesus commands us to love, I naturally ask why. Why would I do this? Excuse me, why? You know, who can do this? It seems like Jesus is out of touch with reality to a certain degree. The world is used to dealing with people on the basis of power and authority and utility and equal exchange or reciprocity. The idea of simple service and unconditional love do not seem popular or practical. Who lays down their rights for the sake of someone else? Nobody does that. Except Jesus, that is. And so, we see several things here. First, we see that my love for my enemies is not to express my affection or opinion, but God's character. I don't like this. I want people to know exactly what I think of them. That's not what Jesus has called me to do. So in verses 35 and 36, we get this understanding that discipleship, or this following Jesus and becoming more like Him, is the process of growing into the likeness of Christ. And Jesus reveals to us the character of God the Father. As I become more like Christ, I'm becoming more like God, like the Father, revealing His character to the world. I absorb God's own values and attitude. This means that above all, I will have an outgoing, uncalculating love that puts the needs and interests of others before my own. Let me say that again. I'll have a love that is others-focused, outgoing. It is uncalculating. I'm not manipulating anybody to accomplish any agenda, and I'm putting the needs and the interests of others before my own. That is what Jesus commands me to do towards others. Jesus commands me to imitate God, to be like God in loving others. This is how the disciple is to relate to all of humanity. Living by such principles will make us stand out against a world that operates according to natural human self-centeredness. We, as Christians, will show a better way. Now, I'm not to allow my opinion of others to shape my response to them, because often what I think about others is they do not deserve my love. It's a waste of time. In fact, I often think it's better for all of us if I just avoid those people altogether. And that's wrong. My response to my enemies, especially, is not to reflect my opinion. It is to reflect God's character. I'm not to reveal to people what I think or feel about them. I'm to reveal to them the character of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. Sadly, we often struggle with this. We struggle with putting others' needs and interests before our own, even within the church. I've noticed people have opinions about what should be done and how and when and by whom. Oftentimes we insist that it be like that. And here Jesus is calling us to do exactly the opposite. If we can't get it right with one another, how are we going to get it right with those people out there? You know those people? Some of them are in this room. Right? And by failing to love, we fail to reveal the loving and merciful character of God. We reveal ourselves and not Jesus Christ. We also see that when I express God's loving kindness to the unmerciful and the wicked, my blessings from God will be great. Jesus says that I am simply called to demonstrate to others a small part of the loving kindness that God has shown to me in Christ. I have received grace. I am to reveal grace to others. So the action Jesus calls for in the Sermon on the Plain applied to others what he has already applied to me. He showed me kindness, mercy, grace, though I did not deserve it or earn it. It was done at great cost to him personally. He had to go to the cross in order to forgive my sin and to show God's love to me. If I love others and I am hurt or if I'm taken advantage of, then the promise Jesus gives me here is that one day I will experience God's blessing. This is because God notices, He remembers, and He is just. So when I sacrifice in order to love others, God remembers that. And one day I will be rewarded. I do not think, Jesus doesn't say it, but I do not think that will happen in this life. I think that is something, the reward is something that is waiting for me in eternity. So, I need to move beyond what people deserve, what I think they have earned, and actively do good to them regardless. Jesus says that God will make this kind of love worth it to me in eternity. Now, we've been doing a lot of thinking about how can First Baptist Rockport show love to our community and invite them to respond. And each one of us needs to make a decision. How can we reveal the love of Christ to our community so that they will have a chance to experience it and maybe even respond to it? I'm trying to think of what I can do. So one thing I'm going to do that I've tried to do and I'm going to do more of is to be a volunteer in city and county-wide events. I volunteered at Seafair. I'm going to volunteer at WineFest. I'm going to try to do more volunteering because I want to be out there sacrificing my time to show this community that what they think is important to me because they are important to me. And I get a chance to be involved with people that I don't normally rub elbows with, which is good. And I can talk to them and listen to them. I want to do more volunteering. I also bought some fancy trash picker-uppers. And I'm going to start walking around picking up trash. Do you think there's a lot of trash in our community? One thing we can do is sacrifice some of our time to pick that stuff up and take it out to the transfer station. Just get rid of it. We can do that. It's so simple. And it shows this community that we care, that we're paying attention. Why would you do this? Because I love this community. And I want them to notice that God loves them as well. I don't know if the community deserves me sacrificing my time to do these things or not, but it's what Jesus has called me to do. And I think that if we thought about it and we prayed about it, you and I could think of a lot of ways to bless or show the love of Christ to our local politicians, to our local government employees, to business owners, to first responders, to those people in the other political party, to the rich, to the poor, to all kinds of people. There's no end to the things we might do if we just would do it. And if you're waiting for me to tell you what to do and to get you out there, then you'll probably have to answer to God for waiting. Don't wait for me. You respond to what God has called you to do. We'll plan mission things in the church. Every week there's all kinds of work projects to be done. But what is God calling you to do? How can you show Christ to our community? The question I want to ask is, do I act toward and engage with others the way Jesus does with me? And I know people say, well, those people out there, I don't approve of their politics or their lifestyle choices. Shouldn't they get what they deserve? Yeah, God didn't ask your opinion. He simply told you to love them. And by loving them, I'm not approving or disproving any of that nonsense. I'm simply showing them the character of God Himself. And that makes a difference. It will make a difference in our community. I believe that. So today, as we close, I want to invite you to ask God to show you how to love your enemies. How can you love those who are against you, who have hurt you, those who may hurt you again, those who have taken advantage of you? How can you reveal love to them, demonstrate love to them this day? I invite you today, perhaps, to die to yourself so that what is revealed to your enemies is not yourself, but God's character. And I invite you to ask God to show you practical things you can do to reveal the love of Christ to our community. How can you engage our community so that they will know God is watching and He loves them dearly? Let's pray together. Lord, we are challenged by this standard of love that Christ gives to us. It seems impossible. It seems too much to ask. Help us, Lord, to realize that this is how you loved us, and that you promised through your Spirit that you would help us to be like Christ, even in this way. So today, Lord, I ask that you would help me to die to myself and to be filled with your presence so that I can reveal Christ to those who maybe don't deserve it, to those who would take advantage of me, to those who would hurt me, to those who are against me. I want to be near enough to them to act in their best interests so that they would catch a glimpse of you and not me. And Lord, across this room, this word has been a challenge to people I know. And our culture is filled with people who are so different from us. And we feel so strongly about the things that they say and do. But Lord, this world, our culture, needs to get a real, practical example of the character and love of Jesus Christ. Why not through us? Why not in this community? Help us to manifest the character of Christ to those living in Aransas County. May your will be done. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.